Good to be with you this morning. This is the week before Christmas, and as I mentioned before, we are going to have a little different kind of service next week. So try to invite some of your friends that may not have a church to worship on Christmas Sunday and be here. We will be singing some of the older ones that some of us grew up with, some of the older Christmas carols. A number of scripture readings from some of the men in the congregation. The sermon itself will be much shorter, next week. So some of you can look forward to that. A short sermon next week. This week we're going to start a new series, and this is on the worship of God. And next month, the first of the year, we're going to take a look at the worship in some depth, but also we're going to take a look at how we use our material blessings that God has given us. Jesus talked quite a bit about money, and we're going to take a look at some of those scriptures. You may be aware, we're going to have a class here, or sort of a workshop, on how to use your finances. That's going to meet here at the church starting in January, and it's open to anyone that comes. So it's an excellent time to invite some of your friends or someone that you know might need some help in budgeting. And it'd be a good outreach for our church, too, for these people that'll be coming and hopefully learning how to use the great blessings God has given us just a little better than maybe we have in the past. So be aware of that. That's going to be coming in January. We've already announced that some. It's been in the bulletin. You can talk to Freddie or David about that. But be aware of it. It is a way that we can reach out to other people. And this is a need that many people have. Years and years ago, I went to a marriage seminar. I hate to say how many years ago this was. This was back in the old Melbourne church. And they came over from Orlando, and there was a counseling clinic in Orlando that counseled basically a marriage counseling. And he said the major reason that people came to his clinic, and the major reason for divorce, was money. The money caused so much stress in the marriages that it was the number one reason he saw for divorce. So it's an important topic that we need to know, that we handle our money better than maybe we do in the past. This morning we're going to take a look at worship. And as it says, we move through the new year, we're going to look at many of the different aspects of worship. Years ago I came upon a sermon, and this was the sermon had been preached like 50 years ago. So this is not a new topic. But in that sermon, the preacher said, exactly, was giving the sermon in Japan. And he said there a lot of the Japanese were very receptive to the story of Jesus. But as soon as you mentioned the church, they weren't very receptive to that. Their idea was, well, we want Jesus, but, you know, we can just worship Jesus on our own. I can worship Jesus at home. Maybe you've heard people say things like that, instead of worshiping Jesus as a people of God. One of the aspects we're going to take a look at is our worship together, as we're doing this morning, and the importance of worshiping together. There's a number of ways you can look at worship. We look at worship as sort of vertical between us and God, and there's many scriptures we'll look at over the next few weeks that bring that out, that worship is between us and God. But worship is also horizontal, and it's worship is with each other, and that we're to engage each other in our worship. And when we come together, even just by being here, you encourage each other. And part of the ideas throughout Scripture is to be that encouragement to each other. And in our worship, we do that. So our worship is with us and God, but it's also with us as God's people. Remember that the very temple of the Holy Spirit are the people of God that worship together. When we sing praises to God. But we also encourage one another when we sing out. Too often, people say, well, you know, I don't sing very good. But when we sing out, that's an encouragement to those people around us. When we read and when we preach God's Word, of course, that's God's Word coming down to us. But hopefully our preaching is also an encouragement to help us through the week. When we pray, we give thanksgiving to God. But we also pray for one another. And so this also is a way that we come together. When we meet around the Lord's table, we remember Jesus. But Paul brings out the idea that we partake of the loaf, we who are many are one. This is one thing we all do together. So even taking the Lord's Supper, we remember our Lord, but we also remember each other. And we're going to take a look for just a few minutes on the idea of worship by giving. Sometimes we think of we give on Sunday morning, it's just a convenient time. But worship is by giving is a lot more than just a convenient time. This is the way that we have of honoring our God. And what I'd like to look with you is just a few stories, and we're going to start from the Old Testament. If you go back to Abraham, the very beginning of the Jewish nation. Now I want you to notice how Abraham showed his worship to God. And first, before we get to Abraham, we're going to take a look at some of the Psalms. And in the outline, I put Psalms 40. And I decided not to read through the whole Psalm 40 because sometimes I know that sometimes I maybe read more scriptures than you can take in a Sunday morning. Go back and read Psalm 40. Psalms 40 has the idea of the beginning part that our worship needs to be more service and not just ritual. But it ends with the idea that we do come together as a congregation. And there's a special way that God is with us when we're together. That he may not be, we think about God is always everywhere. And is one of the Psalms, I mean, where are you going to go that God's not there? God is everywhere. But there's a special way that he's there when his people come together. Jesus said, when two or three of you are gathered in my name, there I will be. There's a special presence of God when we come together. And Psalms 42 brings that out. Look at in Psalms 42. As a deer pants for the flowing stream, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The idea of coming together. And we should desire to come together. It shouldn't be something that we dread on Sunday morning, but something that we look forward to, a time to come together before our Lord. But like we look at Abraham, most of us know the story of Abraham. Abraham grew up in a city called Ur of the Chaldees. It was a very pagan city. If you ever go back and look at some of the things that went on in Ur, it was a very pagan city. But he called Abraham out of Ur. Abraham takes his people out to Haran. And for Haran, they go into the promised land. And God makes a great promise to Abraham. And we've looked at this promise before, but look at what God says to Abraham. And the Lord said to Abram, his name will later be changed to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And I will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Now, Paul brings out very vividly that last sentence points to the Christ, that the blessings of Christ would be to all the world. But this is the great blessings that God gives to Abraham. If you read on down the next paragraph, Abraham does exactly that. He gets everybody together and they go to the promised land. But I want you to notice what he does when he gets to the land of Canaan. Now he's living in a tent. I mean, he's just traveled hundreds of miles. And notice what he does. Oh, I went too fast. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham, or Abram. I will give this land to your descendants. And Abraham built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord, who had appeared to him. Now notice what he does. Abraham hasn't received all the blessings now. He's been blessed by God, but he hasn't received all of them. But what does he do? He builds an altar and worships God. Throughout the Old Testament, you notice all the time they're building an altar. When they built an altar, there was a reason for that. They were going to offer a sacrifice on the altar. The idea of the altar is giving to God in worship. Throughout the Old Testament, when you look at when they came and called upon the name of the Lord, when they came to God to worship, it always included giving back to God. It was a way to honor God as God and a way of showing their thanksgiving to God. So that throughout, worship was... giving was not just something added on. It was paramount in their worship. It was really the centerpiece throughout. Because you'll notice time and again, they built an altar. If you look at Abraham's son Isaac, one of the things that is interesting, if you look at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, They all had problems due to their beautiful wives. Having a beautiful wife caused them problems. It caused Abraham problems. It caused Isaac problems. When Isaac goes into the land of the Philistines, he's still basically a nomad. And he's worried because Rebekah is so beautiful that they may just kill him so they can have Rebekah. But he lives with the Philistines. And as he's living with them, then God blesses him. He becomes very rich. So now he's starting to worry that because I'm so rich, maybe they're going to do me in and take all my wealth. So Isaac is worried. And God comforts Isaac and says, don't be worried. I'm going to be with you. And notice what is said to Isaac. And the Lord appeared to Isaac the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham and the father and your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your offsprings for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and he called upon the name of the Lord. So here God comforts Isaac and says, Isaac, I'm going to see you through. I've already given you all these great blessings and I'm going to protect you, Isaac, even with the great blessings I've given you. So what does Isaac do? He builds an altar and calls on the name of the Lord. He worships God by building an altar. The worship of his God was built around that altar. The giving back to God. Throughout the Old Testament, you see this example over and over again. That worship to God included sacrifice. It included giving back to God. And this was a way of showing God and honoring God as our God. So worship with giving was not just something added on to worship. It was central to worship, to honor God. Now, we've looked at Genesis, the very first book in the Old Testament. I'm going to go back now. If you go back to the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. Malachi has quite a bit to say about giving if you read through the whole book. We're just going to look at one little part that Malachi brings out. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you. O priest, you despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. The idea they were not bringing back to God the gifts that God deserved. And what's Malachi saying? What's God saying through the prophet Malachi? This is a way you have of honoring God, by giving back to God. It's not like God needs our gifts, but this is a way that we have of showing our thanksgiving and honoring God as God, is by giving back what he's given to us. And so it's central to our worship. It's not something we add on to our worship. It's a centerpiece of our worship, is the idea of honoring God as God, and that idea of giving back to him is a central part of that. If you look over in the New Testament, we're going to take a look from our scripture reading from Corinthians. And if you go back and look at what's happening when Paul writes to the church at Corinth, if you go back to geography, I know it's not all of our strong subject is geography, but Corinth is in southern Greece, and it was a very prosperous region of that day and time. Northern Greece is Macedonia, and it's sort of mountainous. And so the farmers up there in Macedonia, up in the mountains, weren't very... They weren't very prosperous. They were pretty poor. So Macedonia is sort of the poor area of Greece, and southern Greece is very prosperous. At this time that Paul writes to Corinth, Jerusalem over here, it's to the east of Greece, was going through a famine. And they were in really bad straits. And so Paul writes to Corinth and the churches of Asia and to Greece, that you guys received the gospel because of what went on in Jerusalem. It's the people in Jerusalem that brought you the gospel. Now you need to repay them by helping them out in this time of need. They're going through a physical disaster, so to speak. They're going through a famine. And they basically are hurting. So you need to help them out. And that's what he writes in chapter 8 and 9 of the book of Corinthians. But I want you to notice how that really applies to us today and what he says and the generosity that he wants us to have in the same way. And he brings out the idea that being able to give is a blessing of God. It's a grace that God has blessed us that we can give. And it's one of those great graces that God has given us, and it's a blessing. As Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And this is a blessing that we have. And it's part of our worship to God as well. Look what he says at the beginning here in Corinthians. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches at Macedonia. Now remember, Macedonia is a poor area of Greece. But he can still see the grace that's been given to them. For in their severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as that I can testify, beyond their means, beyond what they should have been able to give, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. So they were begging to give more back to Jerusalem. And so he goes down and he uses them as an example to the sort of the rich people down in Corinth. He says, look at what those guys are doing up in Macedonia. They don't have very much, but they begged us to give what they did have to Jerusalem. So he uses them as an example. But that's not the only example he's going to give them. He's going to give them even a bigger example on down in verse 9 when he gives them the example of Jesus himself. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. What's he saying about Jesus? Well, where was Jesus before he came to this earth? He was in heaven. He had everything. He gave up being in heaven to come to this earth. And not to come to this earth as a king, but to come to this earth as a servant. In fact, Jesus had no means whatsoever. In one passage he says, you know, even a fox has a hole in the ground to call his home. I don't have any place on this earth to call my home. Jesus had no personal wealth whatsoever. He gave it all up. Why? For us. He gave all it up so that we could become rich through our knowledge of him. And so Paul is bringing out two examples here for the Corinthians. The Macedonians, those poor guys up there are giving. And think about what Christ has given to each one of us. And then he goes on down and he talks about the great blessings that we do have and where those blessings come from. And I want you to notice what he says in verses 12 through 15. I don't have this. My glasses aren't really good. I'm going to do the best I can on reading this. For the ministry of the servant, just let me find it. I don't have it in my notes. But this is a passage that brings out what is, when we do give, the results of that. And sometimes we don't always think about all the results that we do get when we give. For the ministry of the service is not only supplying the needs of the saints. In other words, when we give, it's not just to give to help somebody, but it does help them. But it's also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of that contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for the inexpressible gift. Now what Paul is saying, when we give, when the Corinthians gave back to Jerusalem, there's two things that are going to happen. Actually, three. But the first is the people in Jerusalem are going to be helped. They're going to be helped by giving the money to supply for them. But because they helped, what are they going to do? They're going to thank God. And so by being helped, it's going to be a thanksgiving to God. And their prayers are going to go up as thanksgiving to God. But he said, more than that, they're going to thank God for you. So they're going to have prayers for you. So when the Corinthians gave to Jerusalem, notice all the blessings that happened. The people in Jerusalem were helped. The people in Jerusalem honored and praised God. So God received glory from that. And the people back here in Corinth received prayers from those that were in Jerusalem. So the idea is when we give, the blessings just flow. That's what Paul is saying. And it says a whole lot more than just the physical that they get. It's also the spiritual that they receive. And when we start giving, it's really those spiritual blessings that Paul is trying to bring out. It brings them out for us and for those that receive the blessings. The spiritual blessings that we receive through our gifts to Christ. But then, if you go back to our scripture reading this morning, when we do give, it also blesses us. And we're blessed by our God who takes care of us. And it really comes down, do we have faith in God? One of the things that Paul brings out in chapters 8 and 9 is that our giving brings out the idea of our love and our faith. They're shown in how generous a people we are. Are we generous? If we have faith and love in the Lord, we will be. Notice back to the scripture reading this morning. Back in 2 Corinthians, beginning back in chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and the plenty to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a harvest of generosity to you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take our gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Now, he goes through a number of ideas. But the basic idea that I'd like for you to go with this morning is that when we learn to be generous, we're putting our faith in God that He's going to be generous with us. That's what Paul is saying. That if you want God to give you increase, you show that increase by giving to others. You bring glory and honor to God, and you bring honor to others, and that they can bring honor to God. And so by giving in a material way, spiritual blessings are increased. And our spiritual standing before our Lord, we grow spiritually. I'd like to end with maybe a slightly negative verse. And this is a verse that we're going to take much more look at in the couple weeks in January. But this comes in a warning from Jesus, and it's in Luke chapter 16. In fact, the whole Luke chapter 16 has the idea of giving. And so look at what Jesus says. And it is, to some degree, a warning for each one of us. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. How we use our material possessions determines our spiritual health. Look what Jesus says. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, that is material possessions, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And we'll look at this verse even more in 2 weeks from now. But I want you to go with the idea that when we talk about coming together and worshiping God, the idea of being a generous people of God is part of that worship. And the more generous we are, the more generous God will be with us. And His blessings will flow to us. A few ideas, and the lesson is yours this morning. Giving from the very beginning was an essential part of God's people worship to Him. Giving is a grace. It's a blessing to God to be able to give. And it's a way that we have of showing our thanksgiving to God. We show our love and we show our faith by being a generous, sharing people. We're called to be generous as our God is generous. And giving depends on using those gifts that God has given us well. Using our own self-control and discipline allows us to have the blessings that God has given us to share with others. And this is reflected in our very spiritual health. This morning, as we come to God in worship, remember that we honor God as our God. We give Him thanks for all the great blessings He's given to us. And one of the ways we have to do that is by the way of being a generous people. And we're called to be generous because our God is a generous God. And we're called to be like our God. So remember that this year, and as we go into the new year, to be generous with what God has given us. All of us have been tremendously blessed with the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And that's the greatest blessing that we have. And we need to share that and all of the other blessings that God has given to each and every one of us. This morning, if you haven't come to the Lord, there would never be a better time to start that Christian walk than this morning. And if you have come and haven't been as faithful as you should be, there's never a better time to start back on the walk that you started before. If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.
Our God is the voice of Jesus.